Tell Me Straight. I'm Yasmin Parry. I am with Will Ockenden standing outside a Commonwealth Bank.
We're looking a little bit suspicious.
Yeah, with headphones and microphones, hiding behind a shrub, basically.
And why are we here?
They've been embroiled in a bit of controversy this week, and it's all to do with these intelligent deposit machines.
Yeah, so they're just next to us now, and there's actually quite a long line, isn't there? People just lining up to deposit cash.
Yeah. Are you a Combank user, Will?
No, I'm not. I don't like the account keeping fees. You're still CBA, though.
Yes, I am with the Commonwealth Bank. I actually got a Dolomite account when I was in kindergarten. I don't know if you remember, they had the ads with these little characters, and they were to get young people to start depositing with them and ostensibly to teach them about banking and finances and money. But they really get your hooks into you at a young age, so much so that I actually had an imaginary friend when I was in kindergarten that looked like one of the Dolomites. This is how, I mean, it was a very capitalist baby.
So as we said, we're here with the machines, the intelligent machines.
Yeah.
They're not rising up yet, but as you say, they've got the CBA into a bit of trouble with Australia's anti-money laundering legislation.
Basically what happens is if you go up, you use one of these machines and you put $10,000 or more in it, the bank is supposed to alert it's an organisation called AUSTRAC that is actually like a financial spy agency. And that's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do. But that did not happen for about 3 years.
And to discuss this today, we've got Ian Verinder. He's the business editor with ABC News. And we spoke to him in our studio because he didn't want to come talk to us in the shopping mall.
The allegations are huge, not just in terms of the number of transgressions, but in the transgressions themselves. This is a series of regulatory oversights and breaches that really can firstly aid criminal gangs and secondly undermine our own national security.
Right, so it's sort of drug syndicates and terrorism.
Yep, yep.
So it's serious stuff.
Yep. So essentially, every transaction that you put through a bank over $10,000 has to be reported to this authority called AUSTRAC within 10 days of that transaction taking place. And this has been in place, I couldn't tell you when it started, but it's clearly more than 20 years, probably around 30 years.
So if I send Yaz 10 grand for, I don't know, something because I'm feeling nice, that it goes to AUSTRAC. They're like, hey, Will sent Yaz 10 grand.
Yep. Buy a car that's worth more than 10 grand, buy a house, borrow money from somewhere, whatever. Anything above $10,000 goes through and is monitored and noted by AUSTRAC. It's put on record. The other obligation from the banks, this is something they became very good at, was to spot people who were trying to get under the rules, fly under the radar there. So people who did $9,900 transactions and did several of them, right, that raised a red flag as well, and that was also noted. So they have a statutory responsibility to not just notify above $10,000 within 10 days, also to identify these kind of transactions where people are clearly trying to flout the rules.
It seems, though, we've heard a lot about in this story with the CBA for these allegations of breaching the anti-money laundering provisions. Something to do with ATMs or IDMs,
intelligent deposit machines. Yeah.
Why are they intelligent? How does that, what do they do?
Well, what they do is that they can actually take cash or checks, and the Commonwealth Bank's ones, up to $20,000. And these machines would count the cash for you and then deposit it into an account, a Commonwealth Bank account. Now, as soon as that money landed in that account, the person who had the account had the ability to then transfer that money to any other bank account or whoever in the world. And, you know, previous to that, I mean, ATMs used to take cash, but I think it'd go in, you'd put it in an envelope and stick it in the machine, and then probably somebody on the Monday morning, if you did it on the weekend, would get the envelope out and count the cash and then put it through as a regular transaction. Bear in mind, the other banks have got similar machines as well, but the limit on theirs is 5,000. The limit on the Commonwealth Bank's ones were 20,000. Now, the other banks have said, well, we haven't done anything wrong here because we've got machines that only have $5,000 limits. But if you think about that, that means that you can put all sorts of transactions through every other bank, and none of them ever have to be reported because they're under the $10,000 limit. But there is still a responsibility on those banks to identify people who are trying to flout the rules, who are putting, say, 50 different transactions at $5,000 through.
Right.
Mm.
And we did a bit of a sort of a timeline on this. Where did it begin, Yaz? In May 2012,
well, that's when
the machines started rolling out.
Yeah. And then it seemed like immediately they were quite popular and the transaction levels have just gone up and up and up for people using these machines to deposit money. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. I mean, there's about $1 billion a month going through these machines now. So they're just insanely popular. They were pretty popular right from the word go. I think they had about $90 million or something in the first 6 months. So that's risen from $90 million over 6 months to about $1 billion a month now. So everybody uses them and a lot of people think they're fantastic. But there was a mistake that they made when they introduced them, wasn't there?
Right. So for I think the AUSTRAC statement of claim or the concise statement that they've lodged to the federal court in this, I think around from November 2012 to September 2015, the CBA provided no transactions or no reports on those transactions over $10,000.
That's right.
So it's nearly a 3 year time period mm-hmm. where nothing happened.
Nothing.
And that didn't raise any red flags that on both sides, from the regulator or the bank, that for some reason transaction reports stopped?
Well, I guess if you're the regulator or the group that oversees this, AUSTRAC, you'd had full confidence in the banks up until that point. There's no reason for you to think that information isn't coming through. Look, my reading of this is that the Australian Federal Police were investigating several drug syndicates and had people under surveillance. And look, I'm reading between the lines here in the statement of claim. And they were looking at these syndicates. They had them under surveillance, probably had them monitored with cameras and so forth. And they've gone to AUSTRAC afterwards and said, we've got these guys banged to rights. We know they put, you know, X amount of cash through these machines on these dates. Can you give us the full details? And AUSTRAC has looked and there's nothing in the kitty. And what's happened then, you'll find in 2015, two records were then transferred from the Commonwealth Bank to AUSTRAC, two. And 1 month later, exactly 4 weeks later, the other 53,503 were translated. Or transmitted across.
So someone at the bank.
Oh, there must have been absolute pandemonium. Somebody must have gone, oh my God, look at this. It's not just these two that are missing. It's every transaction since we started these machines.
So the CBA really did miss something big.
Oh, just they missed every, you know, we're talking about 750,000 account holders. And then we're talking about the number of transactions above 10,000. The number of transactions above $10,000 was 53,504 transactions. You know, and of those, 1,604 of them related to criminal gangs. I mean, that's a lot, you know, and it's over a long period of time. But, you know, even worse than that, the bank itself had noticed six filings to five customers that they'd identified as posing a terrorism risk. So the bank had identified these people as a terrorism risk and didn't report it. But what becomes even more alarming is that even after 2015, when they've discovered this huge problem, the problems continue on. Up until even January this year, there was a series of transactions worth about $300,000 that weren't reported either. It's mind-boggling that this could continue. I mean, if it was you or I running the bank, you know, you'd think, bloody hell, what am I going to do? This is an enormous mistake. We better fix it right away. We better put huge amounts of resources in here. But it seems as though they just kept, you know, this tardy approach. And my, you know, gut feeling is that banks and all sorts of corporations over the years have replaced human beings with machines, intelligent machines, thinking the machines are going to do everything for you. And because human beings cost a lot of money, you know, you can put a machine in there. They don't, you know, they don't demand more cash every week. And, you know, I think they've just basically cut down the number of staff, the number of people who are looking at compliance issues and the number of people who are supposed to police and monitor these issues.
So the Commonwealth Bank is facing a lot of issues here, but the big one is this around 53,000 reports that weren't flagged. And
the CEO of the Commonwealth Bank, Ian Narev, has come out today and put that down to a software error.
Let's just hear what Ian Narev said on that.
I understand that 53,000 sounds like a big number. One very important piece of context here is that the vast majority related to one software coding error in 2012 that we picked up in 2015, fixed within a month and rectified. Now, every transaction that was meant to be reported that wasn't, because that software error technically does count as a breach, but that big number is very inflated because of the nature of the specific claims.
To me, the greater problem is the fact that even after they've discovered the software issue in 2015, these problems continue on. But, you know, on the software issue, he said that essentially there was a coding error. And clearly, I think that means that whoever installed the machines didn't realise that transactions above $10,000 had to be reported.
Why do you think the bank is arguing this software error line? Because in their statement to the Australian Stock Exchange on Monday, they put out a single-page statement, blame the media for saying they've got to have a $1 trillion fine or something, because that's the 18 million for each time times the 53,000, said that was outrageous and ludicrous. But they also said in that statement something along the lines of, we see this as one error, not 53,000. Why do you think they're doing that?
I'd say to minimise the potential damages. The law is really, really clear. If you go back and look at the legislation on this, it clearly states that every time a transaction above $10,000 takes place or is executed within the bank has a responsibility to notify the chief executive of AUSTRAC. So that is what the law says. And the potential fine, the maximum fine for not doing that, is $18 million. So, I don't know, it's a pretty brave, it's a very adventurous kind of argument to put out there, really, isn't it?
Because we were talking before, is it a fair enough argument? I mean, obviously, it isn't as simple as just saying 53 times 18, because that's more than the bank's worth by 10 times almost.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we got a parking ticket, like if we left our car on the, is it something, can you say that? Is it banking law?
Imagine if you're driving, you get caught for speeding and then you get caught for speeding again and again and again and again and again. And you say, well, look, my speedo was broken, so I didn't know how fast I was traveling, so therefore I should only have to pay the fine once, not the 450 times that you've caught me speeding. You reckon that'd fly?
It's a good argument. Don't know how.
I don't think
it'd
work. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what they're putting forth.
So, what is the PR spin coming out from the banks? Because obviously, they're the interview this morning and Ian Narev's comments to the papers. It's all very like, yes, we've made a mistake, but of course, this is a giant corporation with a lot of money, a lot of profits, and the ability to hire the best lawyers in town. They're going to fight it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, bear in mind, they recognised the problem 2 years ago. They haven't simply been in isolation from AUSTRAC or the federal police since then. There's obviously been quite a lot of negotiations between those three bodies, the Commonwealth Bank, AUSTRAC and the federal police, ever since then. And suddenly now it's going to end up in court. Couple of reasons for that, possibly because the federal police have actually convicted several people within these four drug syndicates, so they've got those convictions out of the way. Also, though, you'd have to say that if you read the statement of claim, it reads like the federal police are extraordinarily angry at the transgressions, the amount, and you know the failure since these things came to light to have a proper fix.
I mean, well, I guess that then leads to, you know, will this cost the CEO Ian Narev his job?
Well, it'd be difficult. I mean, if this was any of us doing our job and we'd failed at such a spectacular level, I mean, clearly he's not to be the person who is in charge and would know every single thing about the entire bank. But this was this machine was installed under his watch. The failures have taken place under his watch. It's not the only time that there's been a problem. You know, you've seen the wealth management scandal, the financial planning scandal. You've seen insurance problems within the bank. There's been quite a few. You would think that this would be the one that would really, you know, take the cake. That, you know, he couldn't really last beyond this. I mean, having said that, he's an extremely intelligent bloke. And I think really competent and very well-meaning as well. But, you know, how do you survive this kind of debacle?
And what about, like, Labor has been calling for Royal Commission into the banks. It was on the political agenda. It's fallen off it of late. Is this the kind of thing that could prompt that kind of talk again? Because the banks were obviously very... very much against it for obvious reasons.
Well, this gives you a bit of an indication as to why they were against it. I mean, you know, we had no inclination whatsoever that this kind of scandal was out there. Nobody knew about this. What else is out there now? And the thing is that the federal government, the Turnbull government, has spent an enormous amount of political capital keeping this Royal Commission at bay. They've done everything they possibly can to ensure that the banks do not face a full hearing. You know, they've put on these little, you know, days before the Senate committee, you know, all the chief executives have to get up for, an hour or two and face a bit of a grilling. All show pony kind of stuff. But then, of course, the federal government tried to introduce this bank levy because they want to, you know, balance the budget. And again, copped an enormous broadside from the banks. This has turned the heat the other way. And really, I don't think the federal government now could afford to even try and defend the banks. But bear in mind, the banks provide a huge amount of donations to both sides of politics for funding. And, you know, they're very powerful institutions.
This is just one of them too, not all four.
That's right. But I mean, you know, all four of them have been competing with each other, and they've been competing with each other on costs as well. So they've all been trying to strip out as much as they possibly can in terms of, you know, costs from staff. And this is, to me, this is where this problem has emanated from. You try to replace people who were involved in monitoring and looking at these issues and replace it with a machine. Things have gone wrong. You know, you've got a compliance division that's been reduced from, say, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but from 100 down to a handful. And, you know, the job just hasn't been done.
And their profit's out this week too, isn't it?
It is, and it's likely to be an absolute bumper, around about $10 billion. Speaking of which, the share price, you know, immediately after all this has happened, share price is soaring today.
Why?
Well, Wall Street was up strongly on Friday night, and you know, I don't think the market can see, you know, the potential fallout from this, the reputational damage alone, the fact that you might have a destabilization in the senior management, maybe even the board, and what the fine might be. No one can figure out the fine. I mean,
so the market's clearly not anticipating a $1 trillion fine here.
Not tomorrow, anyway. You know.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Jasmine.